Some of them I design so it's very easy to get hole in ones. There's usually one per nine holes that is fairly easy to get a hole in one on. But yeah, if people get a hole in one on it all the time, more than one, I'm like, okay, I need to change this.
Welcome to Learning Life.
And the thing that I've realized from the CEO to the NFL football player to the janitor, we're our toughest critics and we're hardest on ourselves.
But you have to be willing to say and point out the things that need to be said.
The only way to grab somebody's attention is with a story.
Welcome to Learning Life with John Toda and another Vermont Local episode. My guest today is Peter Miller, the founder of Mini Golf on the Go and a student entrepreneur at Champlain College. Mini Golf on the Go rents out miniature golf courses for backyard parties, farmers markets, fairs, and other outdoor events. It's a great idea and another excellent story of a local student making their business a reality here in Vermont. Peter grew up here in Essex, and he's another great example of how Champlain College is helping to develop our next generation of Vermont entrepreneurs. So let's get into it. Peter Miller, welcome to Learning Life.
Thanks. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, man. So I love your idea. I think it's so cool. For all of our listeners, let's just get started by telling them what Mini Golf on the Go is, and then we'll jump into the background, why you did and everything. But tell all of our listeners, what's Mini Golf on the Go?
Yeah. So it's basically a nine-hole portable mini golf course that I bring to, like you said, parties, events, and gatherings. I set it up and it comes with a bunch of clubs, balls, and there's a bunch of obstacles and jumps to go around. So it, feels like a real mini golf course. Each hole is about 2 feet wide by 8 feet long. So, they're fairly small and easy to transport, and they can fit right in pretty much anybody's backyard. So it's a perfect thing for, parties, especially because I've been to plenty of parties where the only activity they have is, cornhole or beanbag toss, something like that. So it's a great new thing to have at any event.
Very cool. Yeah, I think it's such a unique idea. I have three boys who are 7, 10, and 12. And so we do lots of kids' birthday parties. We go to a lot of those. And you see all the blow-up castles and the bounce houses and different things like that. But this is a nice spin. It's something different. Are you marketing it more towards that younger set, or are you seeing it just as popular with older folks?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty much 50-50. I've done birthday parties for little kids, and then I've also done a party of like 10 adults, and then weddings as well as a few corporate events. So it's really 50-50. When I tell people about it, they come up with their own ideas like, oh my gosh, we can have this at our bar mitzvah or at my 7-year-old's birthday party or at my 89-year-old grandpa's birthday party. I did a retirement party for someone too. So really, I'd say it's 50-50. You never know what you're going to get when people ask to rent the course.
Yeah, I think it's so cool. It's such an interesting idea and just a nice addition to anything you might be doing at a party or a fair or something like that. So I have to ask, how did you build them? Did you make them yourself? Is it something that you manufacture or purchase from a manufacturer? How did you actually create all the holes that you're bringing around?
So I did build them myself. It's an interesting story. A few years ago, more like 1 year ago at this point, I helped a friend build out his van so he could live in it for the summer. And I realized I was pretty good at working with my hands and woodworking type stuff. So I started woodworking, and I always wanted to have, some type of mini golf business because I loved mini golf. And I made a hole, and it was pretty easy to make. And then it kind of took off from there. The ideas just started rolling, and I was like, what if I make this a little bit smaller and a little more portable? Then I could make nine of them and take them to events and stuff. So yeah, I built them all myself. I built all the jumps and everything, and I put the greens on it, and I put the cups in the hole. And yeah, so I pretty much taught myself how to build all the courses.
I love it. That's so cool that you're doing it yourself too. And kind of that combination of there's a creative aspect to it where you're getting to design a course and build it yourself. And then it's probably part of the enjoyment for you, right, is seeing people enjoy the holes that you've created, because there is a bit of that artistic side to what you're delivering too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's one of my favorite things. When I set up the course at farmers markets, I usually stay there. And yeah, when people play them and they say, oh my gosh, look at that. It's a mini picnic table that you hit through, or oh, wow, this is really cool. Look at this jump. So I love watching people enjoy it. That's definitely one of the highlights for me. And like you said, the artistic piece, I didn't realize how much I enjoyed, going on Illustrator and designing the actual holes, drawing them all out. And then when I get to building them, they usually come out completely different than I actually designed them, but that's just part of the fun.
Yeah, so now I have to ask you, as someone who goes to miniature golf courses with my kids all the time, like probably most of our listeners do, as a course designer, does it frustrate you when people get hole-in-ones or because it seems too easy, or is that what you want? Tell me how you feel.
That's a great question. No one's ever asked me that. I love that. Yeah, some of them I design so it's very easy to get hole-in-ones. There's usually one per nine holes that is fairly easy to get a hole-in-one on. But yeah, if people get a hole-in-one on it all the time, you know, more than one, I'm like, okay, I need to change this and make it harder because they are so small. They're only 2 feet by 8 feet. So the more hits you do per hole, the more you're playing. So I definitely don't want to make them all, you know, just one straight shot hole-in-one. So I definitely try to make them, you know, par twos and threes.
Right, right. That's awesome. That's part of the fun of it too, right? Like, you know, okay, I didn't make that one hard enough. I need to add a little complication to it if it gets too easy. That's great to hear. And so now let's talk a little bit about your education. You came up, obviously you grew up in Essex. Did you go to Essex High?
Yes, I did.
Very cool. And then you decided to stay here and go to Champlain College. I think you're entering your sophomore year as we speak now, right?
Yep.
And we just had Dr. Kylie King on, who runs the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. And we're starting to interview different student entrepreneurs. Is that the program you're involved with at school?
Yeah, I'm a entrepreneurship and innovation major. So yes.
So that's great. You know, it's one of the things that I'm always so fascinated about is entrepreneurship wasn't even an available major when I went to school. And for a lot of our listeners, I think probably the same. And now it is a discipline at a lot of different schools. What's your favorite part about that major? What do you love about it? And why do you enjoy it?
Well, hands down, my favorite part is that in the business classes, you actually come up with a business idea. And that goes from one class to the next class. So I've taken two business classes. One was first semester of my freshman year, where we came up with ideas for businesses. And then we make a business model canvas and a value proposition canvas, I believe it is. And then for that business. And then the next class, which was the next semester, you come up with a whole marketing plan for that business. So really working on my own business and getting credit for it has been the best thing. You know, it's I do real world work on my business while getting credit for it in school. So that's been awesome.
Yeah, I think it's the greatest way to learn. And so much you can capture a lot in books and all your studies in the classroom, but getting out into the real world and being able to see how things actually unfold in the workplace, in the market, I think it's so neat. And so tell us, what's the experience like as a student entrepreneur? I think you started your business probably sometime in the past year, probably last summer, because seems like it's a real outdoor thing. But what's it like balancing your school workload and the business? Or is it really easy because you're an entrepreneurship major?
Yeah, I haven't had the full experience of that yet because I started it at the very end of my second semester, freshman year. So it was fine because most of it was this summer. But I will be going in and planning to run the business full time while going to school. And I've already run into a few conflicts. Like I have a few events planned in October, which I have classes during. So I wish I could give you an answer, but I don't really know myself.
We're going to have to check back with you
in
a few months and see how this works. Because I think what you just said is a perfect example. You're an entrepreneurship major, so running your business and doing the events is important, and sometimes it's going to be a conflict with classes. So you'll have to let us know how you handle this as you're getting back to school now.
Yeah, definitely. I kind of look at it as people can work at McDonald's. They can have a regular job while being in school. So, you know, that time I would be working at a different job, I can do work on my business. So that's my plan. And as I've learned from running a business, the plan is usually not what ends up happening. So I guess, we'll see. We'll have to check back in a few months, see how it goes.
Well, it's cool to catch you at this point, too, because it will be fun to see how you handle it. The other question is, we're coming to the end of the summer, and you're going to be rolling into fall, still great weather here in Vermont, but then it's going to get into the winter. What are your plans for the business as you get into the cold months that we all know are coming and last for quite a bit of time here in Vermont?
So my plan for the winter is mainly I'm going to try to do indoor events. You know, if people have space in the garage or even throughout their house, they can put them. You know, I put a few throughout my house and and I can fit most of them in here. So I'm going to try to do, you know, gymnasiums for schools and parks and recs departments like I've done in the past. When it rains, we just move it in the gym. But also, I'm working on building a snowproof course, you know, so we can maybe do outside events in the winter. I'm not super far into that process, but I'd love to do outdoor events in the winter as well. And one thought I was talking with a friend about was maybe renting out a space and then kind of having an indoor mini golf course for a month or two. I know like the Spirit of Halloween stores, they usually pop up around October and they're only there for a month in those big buildings. So I was thinking, you know, maybe I could rent out a space for a month or two and I could have, you know, all the 18 holes in it, and it could just be an indoor mini golf course during the winter. So, you know, a lot of different ideas that I have for the winter months.
Yeah. So it'll be fun to watch you and see what you do. I love the idea of the outdoor course. I think there's a lot of people who just love setting it up outdoors and in the backyard with snow and the fire pit going, and it's just a fun activity. So
yeah.
Now, for the future of the business, do you look at this and think, kind of like you just said, maybe the evolution is that you start opening up your own courses that are permanent now that you're learning how to design them and rent them out? But do you have a plan to either do that or create this as a product that you could sell to people and they could have the course full time in their yard or whatever it might be? What direction do you see yourself going with the business?
I'd say all the above, honestly. I mean, I've thought about all those things, and I'd love to do all of them. I'd love to do like an indoor mini golf course, which, you know, is just an actual course that stays there all the time. I'd love to make courses to sell to people to have in their yards. And I've also considered, I have a friend who goes to school with me in New Hampshire, and he wants to open a mini golf on the go in New Hampshire too. So, you know, maybe a franchise type thing. I really don't know anything about that, but you know, that's one of the thoughts I had as well. So I guess as it gets, you know, bigger and busier, I'll have to see what my best option is to expand. One of the things that I'm seriously considering is trying to do more college events and travel different places. So I'm going to get a van so I can fit all 18 holes and all the jumps in my van, and then go to, you know, colleges all across the country for big events.
Oh, yeah, I love it. It's great to see all the different options and different routes you can go. And it's fun. You got started so early on building this idea, and you've still got, you know, a few years of school left, so you can play and figure out all these different challenges and different opportunities out there. So, yeah, it'll be really fun to watch. I think it's such a unique, cool idea. And what's also so great about it is that you could go in probably three or four different directions and really have an interesting business model. So very cool. So how does the business work right now? If someone's listening and they're interested in doing renting the course for a birthday party or something like that in the backyard, or they're a business that wants to bring you into a fair, farmer's market, school event, something like that, how does the business model work so people know?
Yeah. So people, you know, they go on the website, they fill a little form with the date and time they want the course. And then that comes right to my email, and then I get back to them right away. And right now we communicate over email and get all the logistics worked out. So that's been the easiest way to plan it all out.
And how do people pay for the service? Do you have a standard pricing model, or is it kind of custom for each opportunity?
Yeah, right now it's the same for everyone. It's $175 for 2 hours, and then every additional hour is $75, and that's kind of, you know, all across the board. Unless I have to travel out of state, you know, or something like that, then it's a little bit more for travel and stuff. But yeah, right now it's the same set price.
That's awesome. And for all of our listeners who have kids and you host birthday parties, that is less expensive than a bounce house, I think, from all the ones I've looked at.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And so it's cool. It's definitely a nice way to switch up all your parties as we go into the fall here. And so for you, how are you marketing the business? How are new people finding out about you? What is it that you're doing out in the community?
The main thing I'm doing is, like you mentioned, going to farmers markets and food truck events. Every Tuesday and Wednesday, I go to Adams Farm Market, which has a food truck event, and then the Essex Experience, which also has a food truck event. And I set up the course, and I charge people like $3 to play around. And that's been a super great way to market and get more business, because when they're done playing the round, I hand them a flyer and I say, you know, if you're ever interested in having this course, at your party event or gathering, you know, give me a call. And I've gotten quite a bit of business from doing that. So those are definitely my best marketing opportunities that I've done. I did mass mailings, and I mailed out like 1,500 flyers to people's mailboxes, put up signs around Chittenden County that say portable mini golf course rental with my phone number. So I'm trying a lot of different things to, you know, see what sticks and see what helps me get business.
Yeah, and I think as we speak right now, you're getting prepared for probably your biggest event yet, the Champlain Valley Fair. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that actually came from one of my Tuesday night events, that opportunity. A guy and his two sons, they played every Tuesday night on the course. And probably the third week in a row, he said, hey, I work closely with the Champlain Valley Fair. I wonder if, you know, this would go good in the expo building, you know, the indoor building during the fair. I can connect you with the guy who runs it. So he connected me with the guy, and yeah, he's been super helpful. So yeah, I got in contact with him, and we decided that I'd get a 20-foot by 70-foot square foot area, which is, if you've ever been to the Champlain Valley Fair, there's usually hot tubs inside, and they fill, you know, the hot tubs are filled up and they sell their hot tubs. But because of COVID here, the guy didn't get his hot tub. So they have this giant 20-foot by 70-foot area that's just vacant. So my course fit perfectly in there, all 18 holes. So yeah, I'm going to be there, and I'll charge people like $5 to play all 18. And that'll be a great marketing opportunity as well.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's so cool. And so I think when this episode actually releases, it'll be probably right after the fair is closed. So we're going to have you back on and check in on how you did at the Champlain Valley Fair, because that's just an awesome opportunity. It's so great. And also just visibility, so more people find out about you. And we also have to see how you do getting back to school and where the cold weather ideas go from here, right?
Yeah, definitely.
One of the last things I want to ask you is, I'm sure all our listeners are wondering, are you a golfer? Is this why you got into miniature golf? Or do you not play golf and you just love the construction of the holes?
Yeah, I am a golfer. Senior year, I played on the golf team in high school. So I have always played golf. And then I actually worked at the mini golf course here in Essex for 2 years. So working there, I've always been an entrepreneur. So working there, I decided, man, this is super cool. I'd love to open a mini golf course someday. So yeah, I love golf and mini golf. And now, of course, that I'm so immersed in the mini golf world, I feel like every time I'm out of state or anywhere near a mini golf course, I'm like, okay, I got to play this course and get ideas. So I've played a lot of mini golf over the past year.
Oh, that's great. That's great. No one ever thinks about that. What's going on in the mind of a mini golf course creator. You're looking at everyone's holes and figuring out, should I put a windmill there?
Yep.
Am I going to put a horse statue in the middle? Right. There's all kinds of different things you can pull off.
Exactly. And so,
as a student entrepreneur, we have a lot of listeners, obviously, in the area that are trying to do this. They may have an idea in their head and they haven't gotten it going yet, but they want to. Do you have any advice for a college student out there or a high school student who's listening, who has an idea in their head and wants to get it out there? And what would you tell them?
Yeah, totally. I'd say get connected with people from your school or the Small Business Development Center, the Champlain and the Small Business Development Center, as well as actually my high school when I had other business ideas. You know, everyone was super helpful. And yeah, the number one thing is get connected, because people know people. And I know you had my professor Kylie King on, and she got me connected with the Small Business Development Center, and then other people who got me connected with other people and other people. And I was having meetings and phone calls with people from, you know, the wedding industry to anywhere from, you know, just regular event planners. So get connected, because that will help you immensely. And people who you get connected with, you know, they want to help you, and they want to see your business grow and succeed.
Yeah, that's great advice. And it's something that's come up on so many of our interviews, that everybody in Vermont really loves that community aspect. As you're building your business, trying to grow your network, it seems like other entrepreneurs, other businesses around our community want to help a new business get up and running. So yeah, awesome advice for all the students out there. So also for our listeners, if they're interested in renting a mini golf course for an event or party, where should they go to do it? What's the website address?
It's minigolfonthegovt.com, or they can give me a call. My number's 802-557-5964. Yeah, so those are the best ways to get in contact with me if they're interested in having a course in their own backyard.
Very cool. Well, I'm definitely interested. As I told you, I think I'm going to do a mini golf on the go birthday party and replace the inflatables for this year. So
awesome.
We'll be talking. And definitely, we're excited. I know you're going to be going back to school soon. I think it starts up next week as we're recording now. So good luck with your second year at Champlain. And best of luck for the business. We'll have you back and see how things are going, you know, a few months down the road now.
Yeah, awesome, man. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And to all of our listeners, thank you for being here each week. As you know, we have a new episode that comes out every week. So wherever you're listening, be sure to subscribe, leave us comments. We love to hear from you guys. And until our next episode, happy learning. Hey, everyone, John Toda here. I want to thank you for tuning into the show each week. We love our Learning Life community and are so grateful for your support. We'd appreciate it if you would take a minute to rate us and write a review for Learning Life wherever you're listening right now. Your ratings and comments help new people find the show so we can keep growing our community and bringing great interviews on the topics you care most about.